G. Our Falling Into Place series spotlights the important work of and fosters collaboration between not-for-profit organizations in our communities, allowing us all to fall into place. Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. See more possibilities, see more promise, see more progress. Today, we're going to learn about the Independent Living Center of the Hudson Valley. We are joined by Executive Director Denise Figueroa and Barbara DeVore, Director of Development. Denise and Barbara, thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure to have you both on the program.
Thank you so much for having us.
It's a delight to have you both here. I think the last time we spoke was during the fund drive, and so it's very nice to have you where we can actually, where there isn't so much phone ringing and shouting going on, a little calmer, and we can actually find out how you're all doing and what you're up to at the Independent Living Center. So, Denise, let us begin with you as to when you think of the center and the mission, how has that stayed constant over the years, and how has it changed over the years?
Well, our mission is still to support people with disabilities in the community by providing core services like peer counseling, advocacy, benefits advisement, independent living skills training, supporting each other to live in the community from a peer perspective. Our board of directors is still run by people with disabilities, and our majority of our staff are people with disabilities, and that's always been the core philosophy of any independent living center, and we maintain that. I think over the years, how things have changed is really more about the populations of people with disabilities that are able to get out into the community more. You know, as we have supported deinstitutionalization as a public policy, there are more people with disabilities who really were not out in the community. And so, you know, folks living in nursing homes, folks in institutional settings such as developmental centers. And so you see the population changing in that respect, but the needs are still very much the same. Accessibility in terms of housing and transportation and, you know, employment and about discrimination and about, you know, learning about your rights, etc. Mm. So those are all the things that we continue to do. You know, there have been changes in laws, the Americans with Disabilities Act. So our focus is more in implementation of those laws rather than fighting for the laws.
Not so much the advocacy, but to actually help the people with the laws that are now in place.
Exactly.
Barbara, give us a sense of what are some of the challenges that you as an organization come up against in that mission that was just described?
So some of the challenges we find, I think Denise referenced discrimination, and that's still very alive and growing. People with disabilities want to go to work, but there's a perception on the part of some employers that they can't hire or they shouldn't hire people with disabilities, or if they hire people with disabilities, that they'll become more expensive than other employees. And so we still deal with a lot of that. We also, some of the challenges we have is many people with disabilities don't themselves believe that they can lead an independent and full life. And that's where the peer approach is really powerful. Your viewers can't see, but for example, Denise and I are both wheelchair users, and we have blind employees, and we have people who have a history of mental challenges. And so they come into the center, our consumers come into the center, and they see all of us working and busy and holding down regular jobs like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And there's a tremendous educational aspect to who we are for people who never before saw themselves like that. And they would go to the professional staff of agencies who would all be people without disabilities, and we practice what we preach. And so I think that's a very positive way to impact people's lives.
One of the things that we discussed during the fund drive, Denise, and I thought it was fascinating, because we all, maybe not all, but many of us have different or wide-ranging definitions in our head of disability. It seems that there is so much that can fit into that term that it's difficult for a one-size-fits-all approach.
Well, yes, that's true. That's very true. We define disability as, pretty much as it is in the Americans with Disabilities Act. It's anything that would interfere with a major life activity. So that could be, or any condition or illness that would interfere in a major life activity. So that could be working. It could be breathing. It could be, walking or talking or,
right.
Just any of those functions. And so yes, it's a very broad definition. And that's why our services are individualized. It's not a cookie cutter approach. You don't come into the center and everybody goes through a certain training program to be independent, because for each person, it's defined differently. And independence doesn't necessarily mean that you on your own do everything without assistance. It means that you take control over your life and that you direct your care or your, the services that you receive.
And also, when you're talking, Barbara, about discrimination, is it... I don't want to undermine it in any way, but it seems that sometimes that people could even be aware that they're unaware that they're doing it.
It could be. It definitely could be, because a lot of employers have grown up with the same misconceptions of the value of the work that people with disabilities do, mm-hmm. as everybody else does. So what we do, in terms of, just to piggyback on what Denise talked about in empowerment, part of the employment assistance we provide to consumers as well as to employers is to educate. So when we work with somebody on, for example, interviewing skills, we encourage them to address that issue if it comes up, and to educate the potential employer about what perhaps reasonable accommodations might be needed. And national studies have shown that most reasonable accommodations cost less than $500 to implement. So the idea that you're going to have to put a $100,000 elevator in a building, or, transport somebody to and from, or get them a personal assistant, is really not accurate. So there's an educational component. We also have staff who will talk to employers, who will educate them about what might be the appropriate reasonable accommodations, or just to allay some of their fears about hiring people with disabilities.
And then it gets down to the individual as to performing the job and, right. and showing up and doing what they are instructed to do.
Absolutely.
And that's
like,
what we're
like
about.
All of us deal with, right?
That's what we're about. We're about leveling the playing field. We're not asking for anything special. We're just asking for everything to be equal. And most times when someone with a disability is, we're not encouraging people with disabilities to take on jobs or employers to hire somebody that's not qualified to do the job.
I was struck by what you were saying a moment ago about how oftentimes it's, yes, talking to the employer, but also having the individual realize that they have what it takes to go out into the workforce. And those mental barriers of saying, okay, I'm here now, how do I get there and do this job? And you help work through some of those obstacles.
Right. For people with disabilities, getting a job is only part of it. Do we have accessible transportation in our community? Do we have the funding to be able to pay for the transportation? Do we have the personal care assistance to be able to get up and dressed in the morning so we can get to work on time? We work with people with all those kinds of issues to make sure that once they get a job, they can get there and get home.
Roughly how many people do you deal with in the center do you work with?
Well, on an on an annual basis, we serve about 600 people directly, and then we have services, information and referral, et cetera, that goes out to about 2,000 individuals.
And how, and I realize everything is, you know, it depends, but generally, how do people come to you? How?
Mostly by word of mouth. It's mostly referrals from other people with disabilities or other agencies that we work with. We work a lot with other organizations, and so they're aware that, you know, you don't have to be tied to a funding source in order to come to the center. So that sometimes is restrictive for other organizations. But for us, you know, if you have a disability and you state you have a disability, you can come to us and we can at least try to assess what services you need and, you know, provide those if they're available.
You talked about empowerment a moment ago and this open door, moving people from nursing homes and other institutions into their own apartment. How long have you been doing that and how successful has it been over that period of time?
We've actually been doing that work for about 4 years now, and it's been very successful. We've been able to get quite a few people out of nursing homes. It takes a lot of coordination because it isn't just about, you know, getting the housing, although the housing is a huge piece of it. It's also about making sure that they've got home care services if that's what they need, any sort of backup and support services that they would need, transportation, other things. And so but it's really important to people. So many people get stuck in nursing homes because they don't know about the resources that are available in the community. So the Open Doors program helps people to who say they want to get out of a nursing home. It helps them to identify what their needs are going to be, and then we try to link them up with those services. And a really exciting part of that program is that there is now going to be a housing subsidy available for people trying to get out of institutional settings through the Open Doors program. New York Association on Independent Living has the statewide contract to provide that housing subsidy, and so we'll be identifying people who that for whom that is the barrier, that fair market housing is too expensive, they can't get out, but a subsidy would actually help them to move out of the nursing home.
You also do a lot of work with young people.
Yes, we do. Through the Seymour Fox Foundation, we've been granted funding for a youth and transition coordinator. Our experience as middle-aged people with disabilities is that a lot of young people haven't had the experience of being with other young people with disabilities. Nowadays, most everyone is mainstreamed into regular school, which is great. But the downside of that is they don't have the opportunity to connect with other young people with disabilities. We have a young woman with a disability who was our youth and transition coordinator, and she brings groups of young people together every couple weeks, and she has presentations, for example, on resume writing and interviewing skills and benefits. They also do social things together, and they all work on plans for the future. And almost everybody's plan includes wanting to get a job, either right out of high school or to go to college and then to get a job. So she helps them through her professional experience, also as a young woman with a disability who herself has a master's degree, and she taught for a while, and she's actually now having a baby too. So it's a great program. It's a wonderful program. And they do social things too. Sometimes they have pizza and soda and talk about the future.
Yeah. One of the things you also work on that I think is fascinating that we haven't touched on yet, and that is working with individuals to find the assistance, to actually get an assistant, somebody that they can work with to help them, as you say, get up in the morning and do what they need to do and get them into the work setting or to wherever they're going and whatever they're doing. And that is that's a hiring process, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And it's a skill that people, not everybody just comes with naturally, you know. So you know, the program is designed to train people on how to be supervisors, how to hire, manage, their home care services and fire if they have to, you know, how to feel empowered to do that. So it's a consumer-directed personal assistance program that we operate, and we don't hire the attendants, the home care workers. The actual person with a disability does their own hiring, and we act as a payroll service, essentially, fiscal intermediary, and the training and support for the person with the disability on how to manage that program.
Well, it's all wonderful work that you do. We have links posted for the center along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org, and you can find more information by going to the Independent Living Center of the Hudson Valley. Denise and Barbara, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. A great joy to see you both again. Thank you again.
Thank you for having us.
Falling Into Place is supported by the Seymour Fox Memorial Foundation, providing a helping hand to turn inspiration into accomplishment. Seymour possibilities, Seymour promise, Seymour progress.